Photo hacks.
Ding, you got the Kings. Welcome to another episode of the Phone Hacks Podcast with me, Mike Goldstein, and the John Candy to my Steve Martin, Nick Tapper.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty good assumption.
Yeah, yeah. I actually think John Candy is better in that.
We're talking Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, of course we are. Yeah. I mean, John Candy's obnoxious, but he's the one with the more human story in the world.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's a lovable schlub.
That's it. And he's the funny one. Yeah. You know? But you're the good straight man. You're the good. You're good at being frustrated. You're always kind of whining.
I'd like to think they're both equally as funny. They complement each other's styles.
Did you see when they remade that with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis? But at no point did anyone say this is the exact same movie. They just acted like it's a totally different movie. And I'm like, am I crazy?
Road trip buddy movies, I mean, that's just kind of an old thing, right? It's been done a million times. And the Robert Downey Jr., I thought you were going to say they remade it recently and it was like a trans Eskimo.
Steve Martin's black, of course.
Why not? I love all the outrage. The most recent one is The Little Mermaid, you know?
Oh, dude.
Everyone's so upset that it's an African-American Little Mermaid.
But also,
your battles.
They're doing it on purpose. They know. Yeah. Like, Disney and everyone know this will get clicks. We do this casting. It's going to be great. I mean, there's a reason why it's not like a Mexican one, because no one gives a shit. Right? Yeah. Or Indian or whatever. Like, we put African-American, it'll piss everyone off. The ratings go through the roof. And it's a whole thing. They figure that shit out.
Well, and no one's really just come out and said African-Americans not big swimmers. Mermaid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. And then
South Americans great at it. They're crossing the channel to Miami all the time.
Exactly, go for it. And then what they should be mad about is they didn't get an actual mermaid, you know? Like, that representation matters.
Yeah, that is true. That's like the mermaid community.
I love that. Like, they're taking our fucking mermaids now, This is a white guy thing.
But I do like, when it comes to like the new Lord of the Rings movie, everyone's like really pissed off because they're like, there's black elves or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, basically in America, you're either white or you're black. That's it.
Yeah.
Like the Browns and the Asians and shit get nothing.
Yeah.
Like, where's the Chinese elf there? Where's the Pakistani hobbit?
We should say Sammy Shaw is our guest today. He's coming in hot without the intro.
That is so funny, man. There's a good bit in that somewhere.
Where is
the fucking Pakistani elf? Where's the Pakistani, Little Mermaid? Where's that?
Uber driving of the ocean.
He's driving like a little clam on wheels or some shit.
Under the sea.
It writes itself, really.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back on. I think that it's been a while. Has it been a year? I can't even remember the last half.
I think I come on every 100 or so episodes.
Yeah.
We should get you on a lot more, actually, because you're one of our favorites. It always feels like, because the good ones, you feel like, we just had them on, didn't we? That was a long time ago.
And you've never backed down from a hack. I think, actually, maybe the last time you were on, you were the first one to post the black tile.
The black square.
On Instagram with the still fighting the good fight whatever.
Yeah.
And I forget what the fallout was exactly, but we reused that recently for Ferdy
Bellamore, and his mate asked him if he was okay. We only use it for the brown guys.
I didn't get any reaction to that one as such. I had a few more, like a lot of people liked it and that was it.
Which is more disconcerting in the sense that people were like, this is something Sammy would do.
It's on brand for him. I was very disappointed with my own audience there. The biggest fallout I've ever had was for the one, I think it's like two or three episodes when the second time I'd been on. Yeah. I just lost my job with the ABC and I put a thing on Facebook. You guys made me put a thing on Facebook saying, hey, as everyone knows, I'm looking for work. If you have a job in a factory or whatever, and my dad lost his shit.
That's right.
Called me up yelling, take it off. You make the family look bad. And I'm like, it's a joke. He's like, how is that funny? That's a valid question.
We should try to get our friends at their most vulnerable. Job or their relationships falling apart.
Well, I think the worst thing about that one was, did you still have a job or something?
No.
You'd lost it.
Like I was doing like part-time work and stuff at university and things already.
But I felt like then it came true, didn't it? Like you didn't get a job, but you went into debt and you fucking were like, man, I need to find money.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you were like, man, the fucking hack's come. It's come alive. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
That is also the time when I had said to you guys, one day someone's going to try committing suicide and post a cry for help and everyone will be like, phone hacks. And like a few weeks later it happened on Facebook. But no one posted it to them. We were just sending it to each other.
Yeah. I mean, that's happened a lot where someone will post something earnest and sad and then phone hacks. Someone will comment phone hacks and we look like dicks even though we're not involved
in any way whatsoever. There's like a whole subgenre now of Perth-based comedians and performers, not just comedians, just posting manifestos and entire autobiographies on Facebook.
They love it over there.
What the fuck? Like, I thought that was like a thing that people stopped doing in 2015.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why is it still happening? Yeah. How is this still a genre that exists?
I think they're so isolated, then something breaks in their brains and then they come out with these diatribes that are just way too long.
Like, not taking names. I don't even know if you have them on your mutuals, but there was a couple that got divorced recently. And then one member of the divorced party posted a long thing about how they didn't think they'd get divorced and they're shocked at the divorce. And the other member posted about how they're discovering themselves now. And it's like, why are you doing this in public? Like, text each other or shut up. Like, and then everyone's going, oh, your strength is so inspiring to me. It's like, really? Is that what's inspiring to you? That's all the strength in the world. Fucking Malala Yousafzai getting shot in the face, but you're like, no, you standing up to your divorce is really inspiring. Fuck off.
Like, I mean, I think it's a common thing just on socials, people airing their dirty laundry, especially, you know, on Facebook, because it's like an older generation that still think people give a shit or whatever, which is good because Instagram and TikTok is just pictures and stuff, right? Or videos, right? So you don't get that confessional aspect of it. Well, you get selfie videos, but that's just promo and at the time. So I mean, anyone still posting on Facebook has that in them. I don't think it's geographical to Perth specifically, but it's just the people that we knew there are very troubled,
are particularly troubled. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, and it's also like, you know, Perth comedians, a lot, you go back to it, a lot of them have the same gear. Like, man, if you wrote the stuff you wrote on Facebook, we put that into the fucking, put that on the pen and the paper, the quill, you know? Oh, man.
We have shit on Perth way too much. And
we do feel bad. I actually love Perth. I went there and I loved it.
I mean, it's a ton of money.
And the gigs are great.
It's a mining and a comedy boom over there. Well, they love it when someone from over east comes because they're trapped with their own acts for years.
Basically.
So, yeah.
But I don't know. Their own acts get up there and they fucking destroy it.
Yeah, because they're all juggling.
But that's always been the case. Like, there's been... And you and I used to have those nights when we used to do some of the Perth rooms when we lived there.
Yeah.
We're like... You'd destroy and then you'd see the next person go up and they were dog shit and they'd destroy and you're like, well, now I can't trust the laughs. It's like when my success means nothing to me now.
Yeah. That thing where like I tried a bunch of new at a gig last night and went real well and I was like, oh shit, all right, I at least got 5 minutes of new. Great. Yeah. And then I watched another act like kill and I won't, you know, I'm not going to name, but it just totally devalued. And I was like, all right, maybe I don't have that. I'll go try it in a tough room be humbled. So last week, who do we have on? We had James Masters.
Yes.
Yeah, first time guest.
James McCann.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we're banking so many up because I'm going to the States.
Oh, really?
For a while. So, yeah, we had double James. We had Masters a couple weeks ago now, I guess. And then we had James McCann after that.
A couple of weeks ago.
These could be all out of order because I don't know. Are you doing the Melbourne Fringe at all?
No. Okay. I didn't even know, like... All of a sudden, everyone's doing Melbourne Fringe. Fringe was a thing that we never did. No one ever did. Like, it was always like just weird burlesque and theater people and like maybe one or two comedians trying out new shit.
Yeah.
And now everyone's doing it.
Right.
So is Melbourne Fringe cool now?
I don't know if it's cool. I doubt it. But I know we do have a guest on tomorrow who wants us to promote his Fringe. So we might have to juggle the order.
I'm also in no rush.
But also fuck him because we're going to recap, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, who cares?
Who's buying tickets to a Melbourne Fringe show after listening to your podcast?
That's also his problem for signing up to Melbourne Fringe. Because with the comedy festival, you pay your rego, your $500 or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're paying for that foot traffic. People are coming out. You get more than your $500
for
being in the festival. When you put on a show outside of the festival, you see the difference.
Yeah.
But Fringe, you're just like, I'm telling you, like people in Melbourne are really cool. They'll take the month off to see
comedy festival and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like I've had friends that take a week off for Melbourne International Film Festival and shit, you know.
Yeah.
But Fringe, I don't think anyone's taking
When he messaged me saying, can I do a phone hacks app to promote my Melbourne Fringe, I said, you've hit rock bottom here. First of all, when people hit us up to do an app, I love it, you know, but
But in this case,
this guy's struggling.
Look in the mirror. Did I ever tell you my Melbourne Fringe story?
I don't know.
I moved to Melbourne 2015 December, right? And so I think I did Melbourne Fringe like in February or whatever, or whenever it was. Like I had just moved to Melbourne, did Melbourne Fringe. Dog shit, right? It was completely, I think I've never in my career had to cancel a show because no one bought tickets. That was the only time in my life. And like had to cancel shows and shit. And it was depressing. And then there's the award ceremony. And they're like, hey, you won an award. You should probably come by. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. So I go. There's something like 35 awards. Mm. They're just giving awards for anything and everything, right? And it's just like, it's crazy how many people. I think it's the only way they could get people to come to the ceremony was by giving them awards.
Oh, yeah.
So at one point, they start announcing, they're like, and the award, the next award is for most accessible show with ramps for disabled people and Auslan interpreters.
Yeah.
And I turned to the person next to me who's like a trans burlesque performer.
Uh-huh.
And he was just standing next to me and I was like, Jesus, what the fuck? These awards are getting ridiculous now.
Yeah.
And of course, they announce her name right after. And she just turns and looks at me and I'm like, motherfucker. I have to say to the one person who's going to win the one award as soon as I say that.
Oh, dude.
So I just go and stand in the corner.
Best ramp is fucking hilarious. Yeah. 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 It's just like it's a half pipe.
It was just the worst. Imagine someone's probably got that up on a shelf somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Still,
yeah,
you know.
Best ramp 2015 at Melbourne Fringe.
Because I think that was the year after the golden era of Fringe.
Okay.
When I first moved to Melbourne, there was one hub at the Imperial Hotel where what you would do is Jack and I used to do a sketch show and people would do other bunch of fuck around shows.
Right.
In that kind of venue, and then that would actually get some foot traffic.
No, this was North Melbourne.
After that,
this was North Melbourne.
Yeah, North Melbourne. Yeah. There's no foot traffic in North Melbourne.
It's
a fucking ghost town, hey. Yeah. I was like, one time I was looking for places to rent, and I was like, wow, North Melbourne is cheap.
Yeah.
This rules.
Yeah.
It's so close to the city.
Not anymore.
And then I walked around it a few times. I was like, whoa, Jesus Christ.
Errol Street's got a thing
now
or two.
It's picked up now. You've got a couple of good. You got
Vic Markets right there?
Yeah, Vic Markets.
I think North Melbourne's.
Got Bench Warmer, this cool little craft beer bar. You got the Comics Lounge.
Yeah,
you got.
Yeah.
There's a Nepalese restaurant there that is incredible.
There is actually. Yeah, I have eaten there. Yeah, it's really good. So good.
There's a pub on the corner that does proper American buffalo wings. So there you go. This is all very niche.
It's all very niche. Hello, world listeners out there. You're getting an education.
Yeah.
But it's crazy as well because we've had you at different aspects of your life.
Yeah, I know.
Your life is like mine. It's either like so great or it's in fucking turmoil.
I don't do middle of the road.
Your life has more ups and downs than a ramp at a Melbourne Fringe show.
It definitely would have won that award for sure.
Best analogy for life.
I'm trying to think right now. No, things are pretty stable right now.
Yeah, that's like, good.
They will be unstable soon because I got to move house and stuff in December, which sucks.
Yeah.
Are you upgrading or are you downgrading?
Kind of upgrading. So basically, the apartment I'm in, the rent's going up in December because the lease finishes in December. Yeah. And obviously, the interest rates and all that shit. It's not too bad, but one of my friends is, they have a beautiful house in Brunswick, massive place, and they're up and moving to Spain permanently.
Right.
So they don't want to have to go through the hassle of getting a real estate agent and stuff, and they're like, we'll give you a discount rate. Do you want to just take over the house?
Yeah.
And you can rent it then however long you need. And it works out perfectly because it's still near my daughter's school. And it's Brunswick, which is an area I know. And my partner and I need to move in together because we've been together for like a year and a half now. So it's great.
Oh, you don't want to do that, man.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. They just take up your space.
Historically, hasn't worked out well for me whenever that's happened. But, you know, at this point, I had the choice. Where I was like, I can either be that guy who's just short-term relationships for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the dream?
Well, I mean, part of, but that's a dream for a while. Then you're the 55-year-old Tinder.
My partner's with an earshot as well.
You don't want to be the 55-year-old guy on Tinder.
Nah.
That's the only, and I'm like, I don't want it. And I was like, I guess I'll try this again.
Yeah.
The long-term relationship.
Unless you're like a Dan Cook 55 that's dating a, you know, 22-year-old.
Yeah, that'll definitely last.
That's cool. You know?
Yeah.
I got really depressed last night. Because I went to a bar, a friend's bar, and I was meant to meet some people there. Got stood up by both of those people. So I was just there by myself.
Yeah.
Just trying to, just standing there.
Yeah.
Just, and people kind of knew I was there for the thing, but they all kind of knew each other, but I was just there by myself.
Yeah. You
and I was there
that,
for ages, and I had a few beers, and it was fine. And then this girl actually walked up to me, and I was telling my partner about it, and she was like, hey, so... And I was like, fuck, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was just talking because it was like really cool beers. And I was like, oh, these, she's like, oh, wait. And I was like, oh, I love these beers. I love this beer. You know, this one's got a real German flavor about it. And I could just see her fucking bored immediately. I went home to my partner. I'm like, I can't even.
Yeah.
Like, I'm that fucking boring now.
Yeah, you bombed.
I couldn't even.
Yeah, you bombed.
I bombed in
when
front of.
When she was trying to pick you up, bombed.
Yeah, still bombed. Yeah, like, I was like, I'm boring
would
now.
Would she approach you going, hey, are you Nick Capper type deal? Or
No. Yeah. She was like.
Just talking.
You could see her sitting there having a beer by myself, watching the sport.
Yeah.
And, she came up to me and everything, you know.
Yeah,
and I was
like,
oh, this is cool.
And you bombed.
And then I fucking bombed. I was like, I at least wanted her, to want me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
but you still, your partner was still there, so you were still.
No, she wasn't there.
Oh, you told her about it.
She
wasn't
there. I told her about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had something similar this week where I went to that industry party, whatever, in Sydney, and there was like the one comic there was Matt Okine, and like you just lodge onto a comedian at a party, fucking construction going on. I don't know if they could hear it. And I ended up walking around, like once he fucked off, walking around the party just hoping someone would talk to me.
Yeah.
And I had flashbacks to being in a nightclub as, you know, like an early 20s.
Man, it's the worst feeling. It's
here.
A fucking terrible.
Yeah, no, I don't, like whenever it's these industry party thingies, I don't go.
Yeah.
Because I've had that experience too many times like you go there, you glom on to the other comic who's always more successful than you. So he's actually got shit to do and people to talk to. And then you're just in the corner on your phone. And I'm like, I'd rather just do that at home. Why am I here?
Totally, man.
Yeah.
And then like, that's
also, I think something you told me kind of stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Which is, so I did a TV show, Celebrity Letters and Numbers.
All right.
And I did that recently. Yeah. And they flew me up to Sydney and I was a guest on that. They recorded two episodes back to back.
Big brag.
No, I mean, really. Yeah, Celebrity Letters and Numbers. That hit TV show that everyone watches.
Yeah.
That I didn't even know about and had to Google when they invited me. But after I did the show, everyone came up. You know, they did that thing where they're like, you were amazing. You're unbelievable. That was so great.
Oh, TV people are more full of shit.
And all I was remembering while they're saying that was you had told me once that you know what they say after the guest leaves.
Yeah.
And I was like, you fucking assholes. Like, the entire time that they're being really nice to me, I'm thinking, oh, like this is so shallow. None of this is real.
Yeah.
And I actually dislike them now for being so sincere.
I got in your head.
Yeah, fully. But also like that is the thing about media stuff that I don't like.
Yeah.
Is
the fakeness.
Yeah.
Of course.
Comedy, no one's
fake. Well, I mean,
but you can tell when someone's being fake because they're usually new to the scene.
Yeah.
Most of us are like, if we don't like someone, we don't talk to them. End of story.
Yeah.
Well, there's that. You find the good people in comedy, and there's also something undeniable about comedy. Whereas if you go up and do a gig and you know whether it goes well or bad immediately, you get that instant feedback. Whereas TV, it's like, you don't know. Like really fucking studio audience, whatever. But then the smoke that gets blown up your ass to me always seems so fake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The bullshit. And then the more compliments I get, the more I'm like, they hate me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's anyway, I've had that paranoia, but like genuinely you told me that once. And then the entire time when they sing, I'm like, oh, Mike was right. Like, yeah, they're going to talk such shit about me when I leave today. Like, yeah, it was that.
Oh, man. Usually when I'm on an ad, you know, they because whenever you riff or go outside of the script, that they go, fuck, this guy's a genius. Like, they'll laugh. Like, as soon as they yell,
I don't trust that laugh.
They fucking laugh.
They laugh too hard?
Yeah, or you can tell it's just a bad illustration of the kind of talent they do get. Because you go,
that's
oh,
true
well,
also.
I've, oh, wow, he's thought a little bit out of the square. This is wild to us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
you
assume most actors or whatever, and they do what they're told. That's you know. Yeah. But there was one where I was getting paid a lot of money, like the most money out of anybody, and I fucking bombed every take. Like, and the
like
other
fucking up lines or forgetting.
No, just not fun, not delivering.
Staring
it
down
funny.
The barrel of the camera.
Just fucking shit.
Yeah.
Well, the reason because there was another guy, one of my mates, who he just had a bit part, so he's getting paid like a quarter even less than what I was getting paid, and he was crushing it.
Right.
He was crushing it. He's a funny guy.
Because he was hungry.
Yeah, he had the set in hysterics. And I was like, move over, big guy. It's Nick Capper's time.
Yeah.
And then just fucking died. So bad. I was like, oh, no, there is some realism to it. But yeah, not TV is different, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, TV is like always.
I mean, yeah, just depends really like – I guess your station or what the role is, or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it probably is very telling of my deep insecurity is that if I can't take a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't either.
Oh, yeah.
Genuinely.
I hate it, man. I hate it. I always ask the person when after a show and they go, oh, man, it was great. Oh, so good. And you're like, oh, what do you do with yourself?
Yeah.
Like, tell me about your job.
Yeah.
Let's get off me. I fucking hate this.
Oh, totally.
I never stick around after shows.
No.
Like, I can't do it. Like, there's so many comics, like so many friends of ours. Like, they'll do a show, then they'll meet the audience afterwards. And they're not doing it to hear compliments. They're doing it because they want to create a connection with audiences so they'll come back and all that. So I don't know. All right.
No, there's also the middle-aged comics that are probably just trying to pick up.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
And there's some that stand there after a show and just shake hands like politicians with people. It's like that to me.
It's
I'll
so
hide
weird.
Backstage until I hear everyone's out of the room. And then I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind it when I go in a state, you know, if people like come out to see you.
Yeah, I
like going out and seeing them afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know. But one time, it was in Perth actually. Did I tell this story before? I went
the lady with the purple hair.
I think so.
Yeah.
When I went to walk out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
I went to walk out
now.
The door
yes.
and they go, oh, that guy was great. The last guy though. And then I just did a complete 180 back into the green room. Like,
full
cartoon
style.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you'll crush a gig and you'll have to walk through whatever the bar to get out of the venue and no one says anything to you and you're like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah. Like,
you've got to kind of look at people and smile at them. Like, yeah. What'd you think of that, eh?
And then they're like, you were great. And you're like, thank you.
Yeah. Let's not talk about me.
Yeah.
So it was James McCann on the last episode.
Crazy episode.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, it was great.
He's a wild man.
He's
a wild man.
Yeah, he was great. And his hack was... On Instagram, he posted a photo of, I don't know, it's about 50 or 60 sex dolls in a field, like all propped up on a field. And he said, or it says on the image, are you going to join us at the European Doll Meet 25th to 27th of September? And his caption was, super pumped for this. Absolutely can't wait. And I haven't talked to him since. I got a fair amount of likes, and then he's left it up, so it's still
no comments
up there.
Or anything.
No comments that I've seen. It's still up on his Instagram, and I don't know if he got DMs from people or what. But he is like a weird kind of esoteric character, so maybe people just were like, "Oh yeah, this is just James."
Yeah, he's unhackable, man. When you write a poetry book called Marlon Brando 9/11, you're unhackable. There's nothing you can say.
I always felt bad during the ep when he was plugging the book, and I'm like, his book of poems, Marlon Brando 9/11. And I said, oh, and you released it on 9/11. He said, yeah. And I said, so this is the second worst thing to happen on 9/11. And I could see that got him. Like his
really?
Face, his face dropped a little bit. And I was like, oh. Anyways, I'm gonna buy the book.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought he took it pretty well.
Yeah, I would have thought you'd have a sense of humor about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I looked at it. Got some really good reviews. People are loving it.
Yeah, his book?
Like poetry heads.
Yeah. Have you been to poetry reading?
No.
I went one time. Yeah. I was like, I went through, when I was in Northam, living in Country WA, fucking bored out of my mind. I was like, I'll try writing some poetry, whatever. I'm a prose guy. I don't like poetry. I don't respect poetry. But I...
So was the reading in Perth?
In Perth. Okay. And I went down, and so it's a whole bunch of just clearly mentally and emotionally damaged people, right?
Oh, it's like comedy.
Well,
worse.
Lacking the self-confidence. Uh-huh. Comedy at least they channel it into narcissism. Uh-huh. Like there was a, so this is like no one knows how to talk into a mic.
Yeah.
So every single person goes up with their notebook and then they just go and everyone else is nodding respect and you're like, I don't know what the fuck anyone said. And then so I'm standing in the corner being like, this is so lame.
Yeah.
And then one person gets up, opens that notebook and then faints.
What?
Just fainted. And I burst out laughing.
Yeah.
And everyone turned and looked at me and then ran to help the person.
That was the slam and slam poetry.
Yeah. I left. I was like, I can't get on stage after this.
No.
I just blurt laughed at someone passing out.
What do you do? You click rather than laugh. I mean,
That's click. The other thing. Yeah, you do click this.
Snap.
Because clapping is too aggressive, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're at a wedding. And there was a listener at the wedding, actually. Shout out to that guy. We're at a wedding in Adelaide and they decided, oh, we'll do a poet. Each table has got to come up with a poem
on
a subject. And I'm like, oh, this is going to suck.
Yeah, so
we'll
terrible.
Have to put things in. What a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Rub and then it up, go, give him a tug. Yeah.
And then you got to click. You know, you got to click. And it was fucking really fun.
Oh, really?
Right.
It was really fun.
It would have just been like dirty poems and stuff, right?
Yeah, it was really, really funny.
Right.
Yeah, and then you all had to click afterwards and they had the championship of it, like the final. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, fuck, we should do this at our wedding. Caitlin's like, no.
No.
I could just imagine Mike clicking at the wedding. That would be my wedding present.
You know too many comedians for that to work. Yeah.
We would have to have a shit on each other fucking battle. Which table can shit on best?
Yeah.
That would be the ultimate.
I mean, I'm into that. That sounds like a real country wedding. I mean, my only experience with the live poetry thing is I did a gig in New York with Josh McKinda, who you probably remember from Perth. Great comic, there now.
So good.
And he took me to like a variety performance night in New York where it was like you could do whatever you want. It was like pure open mic, but where like he always goes and does comedy. They love him there. He crushes. You know, he's like, you come do a gig, but it was like a lot of slam poetry, a lot of just prose readings and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I figured like I got up and it went fine, but like one joke bombed and I was really considering of just doing the pivot into just you know, whatever slam poetry, like the man, the jam.
Yeah, you gotta move your arms around a bit.
Exactly. Might as well, because you can't only comedy you bomb in.
Anything
else is just people are meant to be listening.
No, what's the difference between good poetry and bad poetry? You no one knows.
Yeah.
Like there's no such thing, you know. Yeah.
There's a really good comic in Sydney, Eric Hutton. And him and I went to a slam poetry night.
Mm.
And he's really good at rapping.
Right? Okay.
And he fucking crushed it and won the night. Like absolutely killed it.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because they were like, man, you're really good at this. You could like, you could fucking go a long way. And he's like, oh, no, I just came as a bit of a joke, really.
Like, what's that comic? Remember the British guy who's amazing at rapping? Like, he takes, like, improv suggestions from the audience and then does a whole rap about it.
Abandoned Man, maybe?
No. This guy's he used to come to Perth Fringe a lot and stuff. Something or the other. I can't remember.
Parker.
I think so.
Yeah.
The one who's been on Stephen Colbert and everything.
Might be, or maybe Chris Parker is the New Zealand. I don't know. But
So I mean, like, it's a skill.
It's a skill.
It's not one
it's
I
a skill.
Respect.
Yeah. My hack from the McCann episode was I texted my agent, and before texting the agent, McCann and Capper went on the agency's page mm-hmm. and looked at who the other talent was. And one of the other acts at the agency is Ed Cavalli, right?
Okay.
And so I screenshotted Ed Cavalli and I sent it to my agent and I said, this guy, really?
Dude, that's a proper hack. Like, that'll fuck up your career.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Your agent can be like, what the hell?
What the fuck? And the fact that it is a screenshot from, yeah. like, I was going through the website and like, what the fuck? And then sent it to him, this guy, really? And then he messaged back pretty quickly, is there a problem with Ed?
Do you then explain why?
Well, so then I was like, whatever, I was, you know, pretty busy traveling around this week, and then he called about something else like a few hours later, so I didn't respond, is there a problem with Ed, but he called about something else, and then he was like, what's that about, like, are you okay, like, is there an issue? And I go, oh man, look, I'm the podcast, and he's aware of the podcast.
All right, thank God.
And he was like, okay. He was like, yeah, maybe don't involve me again.
That was a one-off. For sure.
Because I was wondering if you were even going to do that one, you know, but you did it. You did it, man.
Well, and I think we got a pretty good working relationship, and the fact that I knew he was aware that the pod exists, you know, but
that helps. But even then,
Yeah.
I can see agents, especially, will be have like, yeah, I'm not here for your games.
Yeah, but you deal in funny, man. You're the funny agent. You're the deal in the funny.
I almost thought it would be funnier because Danny Minogue is on their books as well.
Okay.
That the one of the other ideas was a screenshot of Danny Minogue and then send it to him and say, who is this?
Or you can just send famous Sharon's bit.
Yeah.
That's still doing the rounds, probably.
Start recommending other acts. Like, yeah.
No, you don't want, because that shit can backfire. With it. You never know. An agent would be like, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to sign her.
They take on some open micer, and then within a year, they've surpassed me in all aspects of their career. Cap, your hack was a comment on Facebook?
Yes. I had to comment on my friend Jared's. He did a post in July 2021.
Okay.
That was, thanks for all the birthday wishes all. Had a great day getting spoilt by Cindy and the kids. Cindy being his wife. And then Mike got me to post on this, comment on this. Sorry I missed this, mate. 1 in 5 men experience difficulty in the bedroom. DM me for more information.
And the post was from a couple of years ago, yeah?
Did he reach out?
Yeah, he goes, thanks for the concern, bro. In your case, would it be 5 in 5? And then they posted a... We've got an in-joke where there was this really good Jim Carrey sketch where he was hunting Elvis.
Yeah.
And he just randomly says... He has to interview some guy. He goes, I saw Elvis do some Elvis droppings, but down by the dumpster. Yeah. And then Jim Carrey goes, good enough. Like, it's this weird moment. Yeah. And then as kids, we always said good enough.
Yeah.
So then they just put that there, good enough. Nice. Yep. So,
I don't know this. Was this from In Living Color?
Yeah, In Living Color. Yeah. It's really funny. It's got like an Elvis. It's like Elvis is a yowie, like a yeti or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to shoot him with a tranquilizer. I remember it. It's fucking funny.
It wasn't a recurring character, maybe just a once-off sketch.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, the recurring characters on the show we've talked about before are wild. Like,
His
were, like, Fire Marshal Bill and Vera, the female weightlifter.
Yeah, Vera DeMilo.
Yeah, Vera DeMilo. Yeah.
That's one of the things with, like, you know how people always talk about how they're like, oh, that show could never happen again because it's not politically correct. It's like, a lot of the shows from that time can't happen again because they were too experimental.
Yeah.
And people don't trust that show. Or people just are too scared to do that anymore.
Yeah.
True. And also they want clips or sketches that are short enough that you could just cut them up immediately
Exactly.
put them on socials now. Like that's the kind of the end game is like, will this sell on TikTok or whatever?
Like the show I keep going back to, like it's on YouTube, all the episodes of it, is Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was such a good format, but it's too uncontrolled
for
like television now to ever risk. And it's such a shame.
Man, I remember episodes of that show where they would just get a comic on they didn't like and just bully him.
Just bully the shit out of them. That fan, they destroyed that fan in one episode for no reason.
And it was terrifying dudes like Jim Norton, Patrice O'Neill, like these old school American comics that would just legit get someone on they didn't respect and just fucking ruin him.
Man, is that the one where Greg Giraldo ruins Dennis Leary?
Yeah, that's right.
That's fucking yeah.
It should all be up
good.
On YouTube.
Yeah, all the episodes on YouTube. And honestly, God, they're worth watching. Because you do watch that and go, shit, there's nothing like this anymore.
Yeah, really? Yeah. I'm going to check that out, man. I go back to that a lot because Greg Giraldo is one of my favorites.
Yeah, of course. Great writer.
When he ruins Dennis Leary, fuck, it's good. It's absolutely great. Yeah.
We should get into the phone. So spin the wheel each time. Let's hand our phones to the left. So I will be handing my phone to Capper. And then, Sammy, you'll eventually get the new Samsung Galaxy. So not the Oppo, but if you're joining the Facebook group, it's the Oppo. Also, might as well say it mid-app. Leave us a 5-star review. A few people have in the past couple months because we've been mentioning it again. So do that. Get on the Patreon. Tons of bonus apps.
And we've hit a real purple patch. We've been, I mean, lately we had a few here.
I don't know that phrase. What does that mean?
Real good episodes.
Okay.
Heap of good ones in a row. I think ever since I've come back out of... Ever since I was born again, really.
Yeah.
We've had some absolute crackers. So.
So you're saying that your cancer phase was bad for the show?
It was bad for the show.
Because he was sober and now he's a raging alcoholic.
I'm a raging alcoholic again and I'm loving it. Yeah.
All right. So spinning the wheel to see what Capper is going through in my phone. There's the music and it is search history. All right. So I think it could be pretty boring in here, but just see. It's been a while, I think, since you've gone through this. Oh, shit. Here's the problem. I've turned the airplane mode on because the Chiefs are currently playing. I don't want the score spoiled for me. But
you got to risk it. Give it to Capra so he can do it.
Yeah, there it is. All right. So scroll through that.
Okay. Hoyts at Corinyup. Where the hell is Corinyup?
That's Perth.
I actually have
a story that comes out of this, but it might be in the notes as well. But we went and saw Nope. Jordan Peele movie.
Yeah, I just watched it last night.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, same here.
But have you seen it yet, Ken?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
All right. So, maybe this is hard to tell a story without spoilers, but let's just say Jordan Peele does horror movies, right?
Yeah,
it's a fucking sci-fi horror movie. And there was a family in the theater, and I think he thought it was like an Independence Day style sci-fi movie.
Oh, shit.
And halfway through, which there's some gruesome shit in the movie. I'll just say there's like a monkey that murders people, right? That's not spoiling anything because that's like
that's in the opening scene.
And they lasted through that, but there's a scene halfway through that's fucking horrific, like gruesome.
Yeah.
And the guy walks out with his family and like the wife's yelling at him and the kid's like still trying to look at the screen. And the whole theater laughs at this family. Amazing.
That doesn't happen very often anymore, so it's kind of cool when it does.
Yeah.
You know, the thing of like, I thought it would be this.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And he just thought, I guess you watch the trailer and you're like, oh yeah, it's just a alien spaceships,
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
This is our Independence Day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's like fucking pretty gnarly, dude.
Yeah.
And then you could probably think of the scene I'm thinking of.
Yeah. That's awesome. That is so cool.
And he's just like dragging his stupid kid out and the wife's angry and he's like, oh, I don't know. And like the whole theater laughing at this family was like the highlight of my week.
Oh, man.
It's also a complete lack of empathy, which is such a great thing. Yeah. The whole theater getting together to mock someone's misery.
Fuck, man. Like, that's one of the reasons why I don't want to have kids. Like, I am going to have kids, but I'm just not looking forward to shit like that. Like, you're like, fuck, we've got... You know,
watching, Dora the Explorer for 80 hours a week. That type of shit?
Because your time is precious when you got a kid, I'm guessing, right? From what all I've seen, your time is precious. You don't have any time to yourself. So you're like, all right, let's go out and do this thing. And then you get the fucking movie wrong.
I know.
And it destroys everything. Like, no one can come back from it. They're going to go, hey, let's get on. There's a wave of sadness over it. I remember that. When your dad would fuck something up or when I would fuck things up as a kid because the video store was an hour away for us.
Yeah.
So you had to get the right video. And I remember one time I brought back Multiplicity because I loved Michael Keaton. Yeah. And the whole family was watching it. They're like, this is fucking terrible. Like, you really fucked this up. Like, and I looked horrible. You know what I mean? Like,
my parents just didn't give a shit. Like, they just watched whatever. Like, I remember seeing, and I'm really exaggerating, Deer Hunter when I was like 10 years old and crying all night because I'm like, why did he have to die? But I'm like, they didn't care. They're like, we want to watch this. You fucking watch it.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, my parents are probably a little more, I don't know, strict or something, but like friends' parents were not.
Yeah.
We went over to a friend's house and like we must have been, I don't know, 12, and the dad put on the movie Deliverance.
Oh shit. Oh,
wow. And if you know Deliverance, there's like an anal rape. And it's like they make him squeal like a piggy. And we're like, this is fucked us up for life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the person I am today because I watched that when my brain was still forming.
It's funny you mention that, man, because I just listened to the WTF episode with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
And, is it good? I haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. And they talk about Deliverance.
Okay.
And when you're a kid, you don't know that there's like a dick going in his ass. Yeah. You just think that. He's just making it, but it was still haunting as hell.
Yeah.
And then later on you watch it, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, I think
he was doing that as well. Fuck.
I would have been 14 or 15 years old.
It's like a whole new level of scariness to it.
How old would we have been when Pulp Fiction came out?
So that was 92, I want to say. So whatever, I was 11.
Yeah, same here. I think I was like 13 probably when I watched that. Yeah. And now, like thinking back, like the scene in the fucking basement and with Marcellus Wallace being raped.
Yeah.
The gimp. Just watched it.
I was like, what's the gimp? Why is this guy leather? But the fact that we all laughed at this family and that kid was maybe six.
That's great.
And he saw some things in that movie that will be in his brain for life. But then also like totally his dad being emasculated. Everything. We saw a moment in their lives that they'll remember forever.
I remember mom and dad brought they brought back a heap of movies once, and one of them was Action Jackson. It was the dude. It was Carl Weathers' own movie, his own action movie. And it was fucking crazy, like crazy. Like the first scene is two guys getting set on fire and then thrown out of a building.
Cool.
And it's got like three sex scenes in it. It's got a guy's balls in a jar.
Nice.
And we just thought it was the best movie we'd ever seen in our whole life. Yeah. Like, Action Jackson. And then my brother and I went and watched it. Like we got it a few years ago. We got drunk and watched it. Horrible movie. Like fucking terrible.
Yeah, never go back.
Like
you
couldn't even finish it. We're like, this is, he drives a Ferrari up some stairs. It fucking rules. you got this. I don't know. Is this like a hottie that you're searching? Angelique?
What's the name? Oh, no. Well, it is. I mean, it is a hottie that I search, but it's because she offered me a gig. She DM'd me on Instagram and she was a beauty on Beauty and the Geek.
No, God.
And then I'm like, okay, this is weird. And then the gig was like, can you do 30 minutes to an hour at a picnic for 20 people in Sydney in October? Like, and I'm going to be in the States anyways. But then I was like, is this that chick? And then I click on her profile and it's the chick from Beauty and the Geek, but also she had like 300 followers.
Yeah.
And I was like, this doesn't check
out. That
seems
like a fake account then.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. But then it's totally her, but maybe she, I don't know, fucking deleted her old account or whatever. Yeah. So, offering me the gig, and then I just went into the, is this legit? You know, is this someone fucking with me? Every message I get, I'm like, is this capper
somehow?
You know, am I going to be an asshole if I respond to this? You know, that's the torture.
That's the level of trust you build around yourself.
Exactly. So, that was that for the...
You get offered some nightmare gigs. I got offered one because I've only just started doing like the corporate ones or whatever.
Yeah.
And this guy offered me, he said, man, we've got a corporate for you in Ringwood, but it's not kind of in Ringwood. It's kind of in the city. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, so the company, their company is in Ringwood, but they're going to get a bus to a dinner in the city.
You're not performing on the bus, are you?
And they said,
yeah.
Would you like to perform on the bus, have some bus entertainment? And I was like,
no,
absolutely not. Like, I need the money so bad, but I am not going to fucking
do
you
that. Can't.
Like, I wasn't available anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is going to be a nightmare. And he's like, oh, do you know any other people that might be able to do it? Anyway, I gave him a heap of names.
everyone you don't like.
I was like, please, I hope none of these people are available. I am setting them up to die. Like some of my best friends, I am throwing into the fucking lion's den here.
Yeah, you know. But anyway, I mean, if the money's good, fucking people will take the gig.
But you know what had happened, right?
Yeah. But the money for that bus, better be like 4 or 5K. Good.
Yeah. It would have to be. It would have to be what your soul is priced at.
Yeah, which isn't much. Which isn't much at all. I just mean, like, you wouldn't do that for a few hundred.
No. That's not, like, because you're going to be, this is what's going to happen. You'd bomb for the first 10 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then you're stuck on the fucking bus.
Then you're stuck on the bus.
Yeah.
You're stuck on the bus, and people love, I've been on most work trips. The bus ride is the best.
Yeah.
The best to get to the dinner. Everyone's excited.
You're just interrupting, fucking though.
Yeah, that's it. Fucking brutal, man.
But I mean, there was a time when I would take the worst sounding gigs because I was like, maybe I'll get a story out of this.
I've done that.
Yeah, just nightmare corporate.
The first 4 or 5 years of your career, like, I always like think, like, don't say no to anything.
I've
done weird fucking gigs and we've all done those.
Uh-huh.
But like after a while, you're like, it's okay.
I think I'll pause. Saying no now is the best feeling.
Yeah.
A comic, you know, you could guess his name, the King of Corporates, told me the craziest story.
Yeah.
Told me that some comic had to do a big corporate for an ice cream factory, for an ice cream place, like the biggest one in Australia.
Uh-huh.
And then he went to the corporate and it must have been for like 70 grand or whatever. And part of it was to shake hands, meet everybody afterwards.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do it, so he got another big celebrity to do it. The celebrity bombed like so hard.
Yeah.
Like fucking just took it in the face. Really bombed. And then the CEO got up and was just like, how fucked was that? Like ripped into him. And then
at least he acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Then the act got back up and Googled all the bad shit the CEO had done. Like he's like, oh, look at this guy. Yeah, he fucking rip this dude off or whatever and
nice.
And then went straight to his car and then the person running the gig ran out to the car and they said, you meant to meet and greet everybody afterwards. He goes, just pay me half the money and just fucking drop off. Like that's Jesus. How much your soul is worth. Yeah, 35 grand.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah, easily.
Easy.
Way cheaper, quickly spinning the wheel to see what Sammy's going through in Capper's phone. It is notes.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay.
New stand-up bits?
Yeah.
All right.
You've been doing a ton of gigs lately, trying a bunch of new.
Yeah. It's been really,
This is interesting. So first, you make a new note for every bit that you're writing?
Sometimes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, like, man. But then I have...
a different bit.
At the moment, I'm working on a show, so all the notes are in one kind of draft. I should have brought my book in. Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
All right, here we go. Furniture shop Dandenong.
Yeah.
Guy who looks like Eddie from Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
Yeah, I worked at this furniture warehouse.
Eddie from Iron Maiden was not the lead singer.
No, that's Eddie's the mascot from Iron Maiden. Yeah.
Oh, but isn't the mascot a zombie?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And this guy looked like Eddie. He was full Eddie. Yeah.
He was just a walking corpse of a man.
His face was, you know, when it's gone, I could see his skull. It was like Red Skull.
Right.
But with skin.
Nice.
It then says, he then are 5 Freddo frogs in a row.
I never saw him drink one drink, but he would always burp.
How long
he
were
was
you there?
Always burp.
Yeah, and you're just staring at him.
Man, for 2 days, I was at this warehouse and was soul destroying. It was awful.
Right.
Sometimes I do these labor jobs and they're really good. Like I did a really good one yesterday putting up these exhibition stands. Other times you just walk around a warehouse and you're like, why am I here?
Well, watching a ghoul eat chocolate for 2 days.
It was like, and because he was one of those guys, like you don't want to put these. You don't want to punch down or anything. You know, everyone's from different kinds of background. He's one of those guys where you just like, you know, where they don't really say syllables. Like, you put the thing over there.
Lebanese, that was the thing?
No. It had nothing to do with race. It had a lot to do with brain cells missing.
Yeah.
But he ate 5 chocolate Freddos in a row, burped all the time. And then he was obsessed with this street in Philadelphia that he was looking up on YouTube, uh-huh. and he was so excited. He's like, look at the fucking street, man. It's fucked. How could you live there? There are puddles this big.
Why is he worried about Philadelphia?
He likes streets in Philadelphia because he has AIDS.
Yeah, man. He was showing me the fucking Google view. And then he pulled this really big surprise on me because I thought, this is the dumbest dude ever.
Yeah.
He's like, do you do crypto, man?
Ah.
And I'm like, man, I lost like $400 in crypto. Like, I, you know. And he's like, mate, you got to go up and down. You got to do this with crypto. I'm like, fuck, I'm not listening to this cunt. Anyway, he shows me his wallet. He's got fucking 10 grand in there. Yeah. So he's got like, I think he's got one of those crazy logical minds that.
But also carrying around 10K in your wallet is nuts.
No,
it's digital wallet.
Digital wallet.
Fucking wild. Anyway.
All right. So there's also this one. Parents. My parents were born 30 years before me. Why do they have a different perspective? They have a different perspective because you're a dumb cunt. Your parents are narrow-minded because they were brought up in a different time. You're narrow-minded because you want more retweets. I like that idea.
Yeah. It's a good idea. I fucking hate comics that shit on their parents.
Yeah.
It annoys me.
Yeah. Like,
my parents were born 30 years before me. Why do they have a different perspective?
It's
so befuddling.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got a different perspective because you're fucking dumb. Yeah. That's why, you know.
I guess because I can't do it because it would sound insane if I go, oh, my mom sounds like this and I did like her Sri Lankan accent.
Yeah, I know.
But when I see ethnic comics go, oh, my dumb mom, and then they put the ethnic accent on, I always just fucking rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, but that's the dad fan thing, right? Like, which is what Patrice and those guys are making fun of. They're like, that was hack 20 years ago.
Yeah, totally.
Like, why is it still happening now? And you see it, like, at all the South Asian comics right now who are coming up, the open mic, they're all shitting on their parents and their accent and their primitive way of thinking. And you're like, dude, this stuff was...
But the thing, the reason it gets a laugh, I think, is because it allows...
Yeah.
White people to laugh at the
yeah for sure
accent,
for sure,
you know.
I love it.
Yeah,
like when Nazim does impressions of his mum, it's fucking so funny.
Like, people are like, yeah, she probably does sound
it's
like
the only
a,
bit that I laugh at, to be honest.
The rest of his stuff is dog shit, but
I was like, do the mum character.
Do the whole set mom character.
That's
good.
That is a good point. The thing I love, I was talk about is like people go like ethnic mums, they're like, hey, put on your coat before you go outside.
Yeah.
You're wearing enough clothes. You're like, my mum is the whitest person ever and she still did that.
Yeah.
Like, have you got enough food? Thing. Have you changed your pants? It's called caring for your fucking kids.
Most mums give a shit about their kids living.
It doesn't matter what ethnicity they're part of, unless you're Sammy Shah's parents and make you watch Deer Hunter, you know what I mean? Like, that's, I don't know, I don't think that's a race thing, you know?
Toughening me up,
Yeah, my mom, you know, Sri Lankan mothers, they're always like making you eat food and drink water.
Yeah. You go to sleep.
Yeah, sleep. She kept me alive. It's such a Sri Lankan thing.
Yeah, man. My Sri Lankan mom made me watch Deliverance. Fuck.
It is so fucking funny, though, how many times I've seen like lineup shows for diversity gigs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, Mike has more reason and right to be there than half the people on that fucking lineup.
Dude, a Sri Lankan Jew. It's almost a fucking unicorn.
It's bananas. Oh. How non-diverse the gigs you get are.
Man, like, and I'm non-binary. No. Yeah.
Dane Simpson was saying that there's a few other comics that will get picked or whatever, so like they'll ring him and
they'll go,
oh man, did you, like an Aboriginal comic will ring him and go, man, did you say no to this? Because I just got this. And he'll either say yeah or fuck, why didn't I get that? Yeah. You know, do you get that as well, man?
I don't get picked for any diversity stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And I think it's because for a while now I've just been doing bits that kind of shit on it a little bit.
Right.
And just in the last year or two.
Because you got some really good bits about it, you know.
But like I'm doing a bit these days, which is all about like how I feel bad for like white people because they made the country good and then now all the immigrants come here and they're like, you're racist, and then they take Box Hill. Like it's kind of bullshit. And obviously people don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't think I get booked for those. But also, it's weird. Like I think I noped myself out of that whole circuit.
Yeah.
Like I don't get any of those things.
Really?
Yeah. Like I used to more.
Yeah.
But now it's very, like I don't get invited to a lot of the diverse shows and lineups.
So in your mind, you're getting booked for your talent and jokes.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I like to think. No, okay. No, I don't get booked for shit. It's basically that. Yeah.
I think it's because you called your festival show Cuck, you know, and that's kind of your honorary white now.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Like,
true.
You know,
yeah.
You're no longer ethnic once you're a cuck.
People,
you know,
thought that was us, right? I told you that.
Yeah. They told that.
People were like, is this a phone hack thing?
I got so many messages going, phone hacks. I'm like, oh, this is a bad idea. I actually thought it might. Yeah.
Quickly, I'll go through Sammy's phone, spinning the wheel to see what it is. It is... Draft tweets. Do you have draft tweets?
So I don't have the Twitter app anymore. I have to log in on a browser on my phone, on my computer, sorry.
Next one along, camera.
So you got a life.
I'm trying to cut down. Yeah. Sorry?
Camera roll.
There we go. There's nothing much here, but there is a fun story that I can tell.
Yeah. So, do I need to land on it or do you just tell the story?
Yeah, it won't be there anymore, the pictures. So basically, I have a phone and I have an iPad. And my daughter's computer broke, so she borrowed my iPad and took it to school. Mm. And I had just come back from the gym and I was feeling ripped. And I was like, fuck, I want to take a picture of like how good I look right now. So I just stripped down my underwear, posed in front of the mirror and took a picture. Luckily, I had my underwear on. Yeah. Took a couple of pictures. And I was like, oh, this is fucking embarrassing, whatever. Not remembering that my phone and iPad are synced through the cloud.
Oh, God.
So my daughter in math class opened the iPad and she wanted to show her friends some drawings she'd been doing.
Yeah.
Open the picture thing and there's like a picture of me like in my underwear posing in front of the mirror. And all these 13-year-old girls see this. So I get a call from her when she gets done with school. She's like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, could have been a lot worse, but thank God.
Yeah, yeah. Emily said, you're looking good, daddy-o.
Yeah. No, so now apparently her friends make fun of her all the time. With the, like, so is your dad going to pose naked in front of the mirror again?
No one ever told me your dad was Camille Anjani.
Yeah. They're remaking American Beauty, but it's Pakistani Beauty. You've just taken a picture of a screenshot of the main actor in The Bear, which we were talking about before we started recording.
Because it's a great TV show.
The Bear.
So two things. One, I want to make a playlist of all the songs in the TV show.
So we watch episode one and they're using, which we talked about and Capper's not a fan of, they use the intro to Refuse New Noise.
Yeah.
It's like the common song in the episode. And I was like, oh, that's fucking great. Capper wouldn't have liked it because it wasn't fucking some obscure ween bullshit.
Nah, dude, they end on Pearl Jam's Animal. Like, I'm like, every single song that they have the whole season is just my jam.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, great, I need to make it. But there's no playlist on online.
Right.
So at least not on Apple Music, which is where I am. So I had to make my own. So I wanted to put a picture for the playlist, so I can that. And then also I read an article about the t-shirt that he wears in The Bear, which is like a particular brand of white t-shirt. And I really liked the way it fits. So I was like, I'm looking that up. So that's why.
Right.
Yeah. My identity is basically based around The Bear.
You're obsessed with this guy. Like, yeah.
I have a man crush. I'll be very clear on that.
Right,
I definitely have a man crush.
To watch it. Yeah.
And you're like, my body would be the same as this 25-year-old.
Yeah, for sure. But that's what happens, right? Whenever you're like looking at shit like that, you're like, oh yeah, I look just as good. And then you buy it, you're like, I look like a fucking idiot.
Just a few other, a lot of cooking photos. A lot of you do a lot of drawing, it looks like.
No, those are my... Which ones are those? Show me.
There's a bunch. There's like, Spider-Man. There's a...
Oh, that's my daughter's been doing those.
Oh, hers?
Yeah.
She's great.
She's really good. Yeah, she's really good.
She did that?
She probably downloaded that one as a reference. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah,
it's Procreate.
Geek.
It's the best program.
Procreate, it's the best, yeah.
It's the best program ever.
Yeah, for sure.
I did some drawing on it this morning. I'm not going to say for what, but yes.
No, she's done the thing of like figuring out the cool shit about Procreate, like all the hacks and things to really speed up the drawing. I just draw on it.
Did you know, man, it was invented in Tasmania.
No shit.
Yeah.
Really?
The office is in Tasmania.
No way. It's an Australian company.
It's fucking wild.
That's great.
I know. I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
I know all the stuff.
Nice. He's found something.
No, it could be, I don't know if there's a story here or anything, but it's just a screenshot of someone's profile.
Oh, shit.
And the profile pic is just like hands holding each other. I don't know if there's a reason for that. Did you do it to go?
Oh, no, this is someone who, a friend from Pakistan whose mother died, and I had to send him a condolence message, but I wasn't sure if it was the right one, so I took a screenshot of his Facebook, sent it to another friend. Is this the guy? That was the thing.
I thought it might be better than that.
Sorry. No, I'm telling you, my life's fucking boring right now. You guys caught me at a weird point.
One more. You've taken, it's, again, I don't know if this is a screenshot or whatever, but it's a lady holding her arm across her face and she's got girl power scrawled on her.
That's my daughter definitely took that one. There's no way I took that big screenshot, I promise you. There's definitely, because this is the problem, right? Yeah. My iPad is synced to my phone and my daughter's got my iPad and I've got my phone. Now and
what a minefield though to have, because how old is your daughter? She's 13.
Yeah,
to have all this shit synced up though is
so like my phone is just full of like feminist icon imagery because she's using it for her school projects and things like
that. That's not bad for a hack to post that on Instagram and be like, I stand with my,
I'll do that.
That's so funny.
We'll save it because we have one for you.
Okay,
but for a future app, you post the girl power pic. Something like, I stand with the
I reckon it'd be great if we got you to post this one.
We don't talk about hashtag Me Too enough.
We got Mike to post that'd be great. I reckon that'd rule.
That's not bad.
There'd be a lot of people going phone hacks, but
it's gotta be the caption's gotta be like, why aren't we still talking about hashtag Me Too? You know?
And one more, you just again another hunk. Well, this is just a hunk.
No, look at the face on that.
Is that you?
That's Chris Hemsworth's body with my face. My daughter found an app that actually makes the whole video.
Yeah.
I think if you go back a little bit, the video might be there as well. Right. But it's basically...
More of Hemsworth. Oh, yeah. Lifting.
So it's literally Hemsworth.
It's like a deep fake.
Yeah, it's a deep fake app. My daughter used it and sent it to me.
Yeah.
And she was doing like a ha-ha, look how lame that is. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I look cool as shit. And I showed my girlfriend. She's like, that looks nothing like you. Shut up.
It does. It doesn't look like you.
It's so unsettling.
In my head, I was like, that looks so much like me.
I mean, it's a white version of you, so it looks better.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? Yeah, way better. It's what I've aspired to, always.
I'm like, oh, it's what I've wanted Sammy to always look like.
I'd be more likable.
All right, so let's...
Yeah, pretty lame, I know.
That's funny as hell,
man. Deep fake with your face on Hemsworth.
And I love it. It's just an elaborate ruse that you've come up with. Yeah, my daughter did that.
That's his excuse for everything.
Just jerking off over himself as Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, that's my daughter's.
And the guy from the bear.
Got a mood board up of just jerk off stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's roll the dice for me. Let's see what I got to do this week. It is a one, which is socials. All right. What?
Fuck.
What is it?
Now, I wonder if we should get you to post the girl power one.
So was that a story on Instagram?
Oh, be a story?
No, that's got to be a post, right?
Well, main... Oh, God.
Yeah, main feed. You can't do that as a story.
Main feed, girl power.
Yeah.
And what's the caption?
And the caption is...
I reckon no caption.
Just hashtag me too. Just that.
That's a bit serious. I'd say, you're a fucking...
I'm happy with no caption, to be honest, because hashtag me too is fucked.
The post
is fucked. In general, I mean, I guess the emoji, like the flexing emoji and then like the lady dancing emoji or something, or...
What about the Little Mermaid thing? Is there anything we can do there?
Oh...
I do a post about Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
This isn't right.
No, I reckon
representation matters. Just that. Like the picture of Little Mermaid.
Representation
matters. Well, that's the angle where I go, Mermaid, they should have gotten an actual half woman, half fish monster.
Yeah.
Representation matters.
I don't even think... No, because then it becomes a comedy post.
Yeah.
It's got to be sincere sounding.
What if you're like pro Little Mermaid?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
What if you're like, she's she's black, who cares?
Yeah. Representation. Well, that's representation matters.
Representation matters.
Yeah. All right.
All right, let's do that.
We can do that.
Okay, so we'll figure that out.
What if that's a screen, so representation matters. It's got the Little Mermaid. Uh-huh. Then you scroll across and it's got the girl power.
Yeah. All right. Two pictures. Yeah. I like the gallery.
Well, send me the girl power pic after the app and then we'll get the Little Mermaid one going. Oh god, that sucks. Capper, roll the dice.
Sorry, man.
That's all right. You're sending an important text or something.
Someone just sent me a thing and I forgot to reply back. All right.
One.
Oh no.
Socials. All right. You are going to Tasmania next week.
Yeah.
And I think
where Procreate was invented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you post on Facebook. Facebook Hive Mind, good places for a massage in Tassie and go. Put massages in inverted quotes. Facebook Hive Mind, good places for, because you could say rub and tug, but I think that's a little
too. No, that's too obvious then.
But just good places for a massage in quotes.
Yeah.
Tassie and go.
Yeah, I shouldn't fuck myself up.
What do you think?
We should put
this as a story, like it's just in text.
Well, you do both, but I love Facebook Hive Mind because that sucks.
We have a mutual friend in comedy who once told me about a rub and tug place in Melbourne and how, but like the entire story, the way he was telling it to me was like, can you believe they do that there? Like how shit, but also clearly he'd been there a few times. Yeah. and he was saying, if you want to, the subtext was, if you want to get around, like I know.
Oh, my daughter knows about it.
This guy is like married and everything. So I know where this conversation is going.
Totally.
Sorry. So how should I write it? Sorry, man.
Facebook Hive Mind, going to be in Tassie next week, or just like I'll be in Tassie. Good places for a massage, inverted quotes, and go.
Yeah.
Because that style of post fucking is infuriating, anyways.
Oh, fuck.
And then you could just put that in the stories, maybe. Yeah, just as text. But yeah, maybe you get some good, some good traction with it. And Samuel Shorts.
Mm.
I'm very happy with this one. I thought of it earlier in the week, and we knew you were coming on as a published author yourself. And the books you've written have run the gamut from sci-fi to
fiction to nonfiction.
And you just went to a writer's festival. And I don't know if you've ever even dabbled in this or thought about it, but it's a very popular thing within the Australian successful comedian community of doing a kid's book.
Oh, yeah.
The kid's book.
Yeah. Because it's the easiest
cash grab.
Dumbest shit to write.
Yeah.
No one reads them. No one buys them. And you can see your published author. It is just,
Oh, dude.
And I respect them as all our friends who've done it. Yeah. I respect them all as people. I respect them as comedians, but come the fuck on.
Yeah.
Write a book.
And good for them, make your money, do what you need to do, but it's like across the board.
Yeah.
And so Capper made an image for the Sammy Shaw kids book, which you're going to announce today.
Oh, no.
And so, and I think if you want to show him, it's Sammy Shaw.
That's literally every fucking comedian's kiss book as well.
If you want to read out the title of the
title of the book is Sammy Shaw, The Booger That Farted.
Yeah. And the image is a booger coming out of a face farting.
That is a great Procreate drawing right there.
Yeah.
All right.
I spent so much time on it.
Yeah. Well done.
Oh, man.
Art by Brumpo Tungus.
The Phone Hacks fans, they'll know that because, we found a guy in Mike's phone called Brumpo Tungus with it.
A wildly hilarious new series. Yeah. It says in quotes, but who said that is not written.
So, and I think, yeah, you post this and they caption something, because they always say something like, I used to entertain my kid with this story for years. Or there's always
always a thing.
My kid loved this story, and you know, like it was a very popular in the Shaw household or whatever.
Yeah.
So that kind of a caption with, you know, big announcement. You know,
I'm
dipping my toe into the children's.
I did think maybe you go, oh, for years I've been a novelist. Like, as well as a
but
comedian.
But the thing I've always wanted to do.
Yeah, but something like that.
I thought maybe,
like, I've always been a novelist.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, where are we going with this?
I think Insta, because of the image. And then, you know, if you want to go across to Facebook, wherever you'll get the most traction.
I think, Facebook. But you'll also get, like, too many people going, woohoo, can't wait to read it.
That's what we want.
Mike came up with a title and I couldn't stop laughing.
It's great.
It's a summary of every...
every one of them.
Every kid's book. The Booger That Farted.
Every single comedian's kid's book is that.
Well, because then I was thinking, like, maybe if we made it sound more legit, like it would be the Karachi Kid and the farting Markhor. Which is like a goat in Pakistan, it is. You know?
And then, that's too niche.
It is too niche. But then it would be more people, I think, believable. Booger That Farted, you might get a few people saying phone hacks. But I think you go dipping my toe in the children's, you know.
Yep. No, I'm done with
series, whatever.
That. Yeah,
And then, this was always a story that was a huge hit in the Shaw household. Yeah. You know, I've been a novelist for years, but whatever. You're the writer.
Would you though? Let's say like you're on TV right now and everything. Uh-huh. Your agent comes to you and says, "Hey, HarperCollins is saying, if you got a children's book, here's like a $15,000 advance."
Yeah.
$50,000.
15. Yeah.
It'll take you, what, a week to write it?
Yeah, totally. But I would, of course, surely you'd feel like the biggest fraud. I mean, because I've had to do kid shows on cruise boats, and I tried to, like, be on their level, and I was like, you guys ever pick your nose and like you ever hear your mom fart? And they, like, saw right through me.
They're
like, this guy's a hack. And so...
they are the fucking hardest.
Totally. But I mean, I think this image is great. Capper did a great job.
No, it's a great image. Well
illustration.
Done. I appreciate that.
And, I just couldn't stop laughing about it. Like every now and then we hit a gold one. We're like, we've got to put a lot of work into this one.
We've got to make sure it's worth it.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so good, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, man. Obviously, one of our favorite guests. And obviously you got the new children's book to plug.
Thank you very much.
Really looking forward to
and you got a podcast.
Seeing that in bookstores. Yeah, everyone's got a podcast. I got a podcast. It's called News Weekly.
Yeah.
That's W-E-A-K-L-Y. And it's a news satire podcast. Comes out every week. Just like a roundup of the big stories of the week. And I shit on them all.
Great.
So, yeah.
Great, man. That's good. And I am going to Tasmania. So, if you do know any good massages, let us know. Actually, I don't know. Maybe this episode.
Nah, this will be out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. But I don't know what else I'm doing. Yeah, I'm going to Perth in October.
That's it.
Okay.
I'll be in Perth mid-November.
I like how everyone's shitting on Perth, but we're all heading there because we all need the money.
The money's there. And then obviously get on the Patreon. Tons of bonus episodes and very worth your subscription. Leave us a review and Capper will find a replacement host for me eventually.
Hopefully. Yeah. Sometime. Yeah, you know, we'll maybe I could even Sammy, you know. But I don't know. I like half brown guys.
Yeah, I know. Full brown is too much to handle. I understand that.
We're going to have Ganju on, but he's...
Never go full brown. It's like the Tropic Thunder
thing. Ganju's full brown.
Is he full brown?
Isn't he? He looks full brown.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He looks Mexican.
He does. Yeah, true.
I'll leave you guys to say
all right.
All right. Thank you so much, Sammy. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Phone hacks.